We're good.
Call the meeting to order. It is 4:46 PM on Wednesday, the 10th of February. This is Public Works, Public Safety. Anybody here to comment from the public?
I think there's a couple on the agenda.
We're not on the agenda. Issue isn't on the agenda, is it?
I don't see it on here.
No, it'd be under public.
It would be under public comment, so if you want to.
Could you tell me how you're coming along on the question?
Okay.
Library.
Yep, the library.
Yep.
Street.
I can tell you that at this time, I'm still not, we, city, whatever, not wanting to put additional crosswalks in mid-block. I believe, although not talking directly to the school, that some of the concern might have been mitigated by having the school drop in different, in a different location at an intersection. And beyond that, there are talks in place, as they were last year, of revamping Block 50 anyway. And so I don't want to go into too much construction or redo of that area until those plans are further along.
Just for the record, we need you to state your name and address.
Oh, excuse me, Mary Lou Arney, 520 Southwest 5th Street, just moved.
Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Phoenix.
219, number 219.
Okay. Did that answer?
Yeah, I'm glad you haven't come to a final conclusion and that it's against the idea. I'm hoping the idea can stay open until there's some sort of approach that could be given to.
For safety?
Safety for the middle of the block. You know, older people, and I'm not referring to myself, but people, anybody that's older and is using a crutch or a walker, or isn't, just has a bad hip, it can take all you've got to walk from Block 50 across the street there to get into the library. You can't go down the block, across the corner, and back up because your body can't take that. And we're so good at keeping people alive in Minnesota that more and more people are going out at an older age and doing things, which is wonderful for the community and for them and for the retail business. But it's important that the library be allowed to have as much business as is possible. And I'm grateful for Mr. Phelps' maneuvers to get the buses moved out of that position and not unloading directly onto the street, which is all that I've heard about it, action being taken. But,
So
you know, if you just try something for a short period of time when you're thinking about this, Mr. Christensen, and it doesn't work, you know, there's nothing wrong with finding out something isn't going to work, or if you find out it does work.
So what you're saying is,
but the opportunity, excuse me.
So what you're saying is we have solved some of the problem because of the buses and the kids.
It seems to have improved. There was a miscommunication. One of the buses went to the wrong spot one of the first days, which caused some angst with some parents and that type of thing. We got that corrected, so we believe that's helped with some of the student issues right now, anyway.
If I may, Mr. Chair, a couple things, and I'm kind of going in reverse order about trying something. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind being wrong or admitting when I'm wrong, and that's not the point. The point, I guess, that I have concern with when it comes to traffic and trying something is that when you try something, then some traffic gets trained at that aspect, whatever that aspect might be,
I understand that.
While other traffic does not. And then you've got a potential conflict of some people following the rules, some people following old rules, and so there's definite concern there to when it comes to traffic specifically of just trying something, like I say, don't get me wrong, I don't mind being wrong or admitting when I'm wrong, but in this situation, I think traffic is a different ball game in the sense that if you try something, some people will follow it, whether it's there or not. And crosswalks is a big example of it, because some people will follow a crosswalk forever, whether it's still painted there or not. And some people may never follow it. And so we're not going to train all the public all the time. That's not going to happen. And bear with me one second here while I show you a little scenario of what I'm struggling with. Okay, so here's your block, block 50, and here's the library. So if we were to, and I'm just going to color code the existing crosswalks in yellow. That's a little bigger than I anticipated. There we go. Okay, so we've got an existing crosswalk here, and we've got an existing crosswalk here. So, if we consider trying new crosswalks where people are going to walk, or potentially may walk out of block 50, we've got an entrance here, and we've got an entrance here, and we've got an entrance here, and we've got an entrance here.
Mm-hmm. And one more.
We've got an entrance here. And sometimes if you come out of this entrance, you may want to go directly to here. And sometimes if you come out of this entrance, you're going to go directly to there. So you see what I'm struggling with a little bit is, where do we put it? Where do we draw the line? Where do we quit putting them? And pretty soon the entire block ends up being a crosswalk, which is kind of how central business districts are set up anyway, where people cross. I mean, we've got employees that cross back and forth from the parking lot to church to here, mid-block. And it's, you know, we can't put a crosswalk everywhere someone might walk.
I understand that, but it seems to me that the obvious place for one crosswalk is the one coming out of the library where it's already open and yellow striped to go across the street to the library. I mean to block 50. I can't see any value in it's the one right in front of the library. That's right in front, and I can't see it that well from here, Mr. Christensen.
Clarification, what's yellow striped?
Existing.
There is an existing
crosswalk.
No parking.
No parking. Okay.
I think you're talking, if I may, this being striped yellow right here.
Yeah.
For no parking.
And you've got those buffers.
Yep.
Those concrete buffers in front there.
Yep.
So that seemed like the logical place for it to go, not at any other entrance or exit.
But you understand what he's saying, though, as far as
if
you try something temporarily, people are going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to do it anyway. I mean, it's happening right now. But ultimately, the safest crosswalk anywhere is at the corner, and that's where they're intended to be. But we are so spoiled in this country. I mean, we just walk any way we want. You go to New York, it's the same thing. People cut across there, and cars are going. But downtown here, people are crossing at every one of those entrances that they're cutting across in. So I agree with Sean. It's tough to decide where do you put the thing. If you try it and it doesn't work, I don't know. Go ahead. You had a name and address, please.
Yeah, John Bakken, or Bacon, B-A-K-E-N. I live in Kirkhoven, but I'm the head librarian
at
public library. And I appreciated the suggestion of lowering the speed limit, and I took Sean, I don't know your last name, Mr. Christensen's suggestion that you might just be creating a problem with the crosswalk. I very much see what you're talking about. Some kids would think that's a green light to just take off and not even look. And you got the patterns of traffic going through there. And so I think the best thing that came from the meeting last time was the idea of lowering, maybe putting in one of those speed, what do you call them? Machines. Where,
one of our trailers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of,
those are temporary, I think.
Yeah, correct. But to get an idea of if speed is a problem, and then possibly lowering it, lowering the speed to what it would be in the speed zone if that's possible.
It was my understanding from the last meeting that that wasn't possible to lower the speed, but it's set by the state.
Well, I don't know if it's, and I don't know the details of that, and that was mentioned at the last meeting, and I haven't done more research on that. I would be hesitant to lower it for one block in all of downtown instead of all of it.
It might be shot.
And so I think that would be my concern, is that then you'd have one block that's different than the rest of downtown. Then you've got a problem for the police to say, okay, which block are you in, or coming out of, or going into. I think that causes confusion as well.
Yeah.
Not only that, but there's both the entrances on the streets, there's four-way stops, I think, on both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everybody's coming off a stop sign, and they're accelerating going into that block. No matter if they're taking a right or left or going straight through, they're starting to accelerate. So if you put a speed limit there, at the acceleration, they're not going 15, 20 miles an hour by the time they get in front of the library.
I think it'd be difficult to get to 20.
I just wanted to...
And then the police, it would really be tough.
Yeah. I didn't mention it last time, but I actually had a patron come to me and complain about almost like having someone... She was a Hispanic lady, and it was like somebody kind of sped up and like swerved around her, like he was trying to scare her or something. It scared the dickens out of her. And... but I think that speaks a little bit to what people are, like the pattern of driving and stuff. I don't know if people think that they can go faster than they should be through there. But
some people think they own the road. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Bachman and Mary Lou. And bring it up to the committee. Steve?
Well, just a couple comments. Mary Lou, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
You're welcome.
Good citizenship. And I'm just curious, have we had any accidents or people, pedestrians being hit in the downtown area yet? Have you heard of anything, or when's the last time? I'm asking that to myself.
You know, just going through memory, I can't think of anything in quite some time anyway for pedestrian-related incidents in downtown.
All right.
I hear there's so many four-way stops down there.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody's really going fast by the time you hit the middle of the block, because if you got to stop and then accelerate, stop, accelerate. But
and jaywalking is, what's, have you ever picked anybody up for crossing the streets downtown while we're jaywalking in the middle of the street? I don't think we have.
In all honesty, I can't remember the last time that's ever been enforced that way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough to police.
Right.
What about having a place for the seniors if they're driving? I don't know if they're walking or driving, what side they come on. Is there a possibility that we have more handicapped parking spaces in front of the library? Would that help you at all, or help some people maybe?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I haven't looked at that.
I don't know what that's, what parking limitations there are there. Probably just 2 hours, like the rest of the city.
That doesn't solve the problem.
I don't think so.
I think they have some spots that are 15-minute spots, don't they?
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If not, we can do that. I mean, that's...
Go ahead, Audrey.
I do think we should go back and take a look at, it seems to me I've read somewhere that a community lowered the speed limits in their central business district. So whether we can or can't might be a good thing to know. And
okay.
I think the other thing we talked about is, with it being four-way stops everywhere, how fast can you get from one four-way stop to the next? So even if you lowered the speed limit to bring attention to, you know, that to just slow down in the central business district might be, I mean, something that could be done without it. Because if you think about it, I mean, you stop in every block, so you shouldn't be going 30 miles an hour. There's no way you probably can even get to 20 miles an hour. So would it hurt us to take a look at, can we do that for the whole central business district? Because it's not really going to And with all the stop signs, it's not like it's like someone's going to complain about not being able to go 30 miles an hour. But it might help for safety purposes.
Okay.
I would bet we've never had a speeding ticket downtown.
probably unlikely. It's mainly, U-turns and stop signs are probably the top ones in there.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. As far as signage, you know, that sometimes gives people a false sense of security. It's just a sign. Would that be of any benefit, pedestrian crossing, or if we have to designate a pedestrian crossing, let's say, in the middle of the block, is that going to resolve the issue? Or would that help, do you think?
Mr. Chair, I think you would end up with the same thing. I mean, if you have a crosswalk, then you'd probably better sign it. But you're still going to end up with the same situation that I tried to sketch up here. And some people are going to use it, some people are not.
Right.
Who's in the right, who's in the wrong? If you have an accident and you hit someone, it's tragic. But it could happen with or without a crosswalk.
True.
And I don't mean that to be insensitive. I mean, it could happen anywhere downtown today, right now. Yeah.
I would guess we don't have any speed limit signs anywhere downtown either.
I don't think so. Usually
so,
it's...
I mean, it would be a kind of a training thing, but it could reinforce some safety kinds of things if we lowered it.
And I'll look into what people have done for Central Business
curious.
District as a whole.
Yeah.
I just had a thought. My daughter lives in Salt Lake City, just one block from the state capitol up on the hill. And all of their streets, where they're busy streets, they have got little flags about this tall that you carry and you walk across the street and put it in a little cylinder on the other side. There's usually about 5 or 10 of them in each one of them. I just went into my brain here because there's a lot of traffic that goes across there. I go up there and walk on them out there. I don't know if that's an answer or not, but it does let you know that it's bright orange or yellow. People can see it if you're in your car. It's quite evident, and you have to stop for anybody crossing the street. Some of those are in the middle of the block, but I think they're painted too, you know, going across. But
well, that's a new approach.
Yeah, it works out there because we're walking up there all the time. They've got two young kids about crossing. Those are 30 and 40 mile an hour streets around the Capitol. It's the only place I've ever seen them.
We've actually tried it at my last job. We tried it. The school tried it.
Wyoming?
Yep. What happens is the flags disappear after about a week.
Yeah.
That was fun.
You know, that's one problem with it. And then,
but they're pretty inexpensive to save a life.
Yeah.
You got to keep putting 10 out a week or 5 or 4 or 3. It's. But it's the only place I've ever seen them. And it works.
Mr. Christensen, where was that?
Salt Lake City.
No.
Mine was in Powell, Wyoming. Did it. Yep, small town.
I know Powell.
Yep.
God's country.
I'm from Red Lodge.
Are you? Okay, so then you do know Powell.
Any other comments leave it in Sean's hands? And
I'll look into this.
Keep thinking. Frank, thank you for bringing it up, Mary Lou.
Yes, could I ask that somebody from the office call us if it's a closed issue, when it becomes a closed issue?
Sure.
Right,
sure.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you. Item number 3, police and fire updates. Jim, you've got both of them today.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Frank Hansen has gone to inspector training, so I've got both the police and fire statistics. For the police statistics, the jail census as of today was 136 inmates. Of that, 75 were from the Department of Corrections, 52 from Kandiyohi County, 6 from Swift. And we had some visitors, one from Benton County, one from Big Stone, one from Stevens this time. So, calls for service in the last two-week time period, there's 767 calls for service. Our top three were traffic stops, public assists, and family service reports during this last two-week period. So far in 2016, we've had 2,093 calls for service. That puts us 318 calls for service ahead of this time last year, or roughly 6 days equivalent of last year. So it's looking to be a busy year again this year.
That 700 and some seems to be high. It seems to be, usually they're in the 600s, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I've seen it run anywhere from the 600s to the highest. I think there was 790 something in the past a few times. But
is the family services thing, is it really, those things really adding up?
That's a part of it. That, you know, last year we did handle many more family service calls than normal. You know, part of it is dependent, those are heavy during the school years as far as child protection type things. The adult protection things are spread out throughout the year. You know, that is a portion of it. We're also having, you know, more people call us on, you know, questions on cases, more complaints, forgeries, frauds, things like that. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of different factors there.
Wow. So, any questions, comments? Go ahead, Audrey.
Just a question on snow removal violations. Mm-hmm. I know there was a car on our street that was ticketed. Is that something you do? Or does public works?
If it's on the street, then the police department does.
Okay.
We will mark it for 48-hour parking. After that 48-hour time frame, we come back and check it. It's usually our community service officers that do the follow-up. They'll photograph it. They'll ticket the car, usually put a placard on the car that is subject to tow. We have to wait at least 4 hours before we tow it. Generally, we give it another day unless it's a traffic hazard, and then we'll tow them after that. Okay. So
I just was curious how the notification took place or if it was just observation.
You know, we operate a lot on citizen complaints, but more and more we're trying to get our staff to, it's helpful when it snows a little bit, then we, mm-hmm. it's obvious to us which cars are sitting out longer than 48 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, we operate off of that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I made it through two snow.
Great interest reading the paper the other day on the article and your calls for service and what you're doing and what your officers are doing for a citizen community. I'm just curious, years ago we used to have the problem with there was a policy where the police department would not unlock car doors for people because of the amount of calls and it was taking so much time. What's the trend on that and how many calls do we have on that? Is that an issue or not?
For unlocking car doors, I would say probably during the year we maybe handle 20 or less.
Okay.
Right now the only time that we'll unlock a car door for someone is if the car is running inside a building, if there's a child locked in a car or there's some other immediate safety issue. Otherwise, for your typical lockout, they're always referred to the locksmiths or towing companies for that.
Fire on bill?
Yep, for the from Chief Hansen here, the fire numbers for the last 2 week time period is they had 12 calls for service. That included 2 carbon monoxide alarms, 6 fire alarms, 2 motor vehicle crashes, 1 natural gas leak, and 1 building fire where there was some damage to the basement of the building. Last year at this time there were 47 calls. This year there's 42, so it's a difference of 5. There are 5 or less so far this year for fire.
And no carbon monoxide ones in there?
Two within the last 2 week time period.
Okay.
Correct.
Any questions or comments on the, of course, Frank isn't here. So
I can make up something for him.
Okay, well, thank you very much for both of those reports.
Thank you.
And if there's nothing for you further down the road, if you want to leave, you go ahead.
Thank you.
Country Club Drive lift station authorization for bids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the next couple, we've got
Josh
Alverson is in the audience, so if there's any questions or if I forget something important, then he can sure jump in and chime in. You guys can ask him questions as well. The next two items on the agenda, Mr. Chair, are for 2 lift stations that are scheduled for replacement and construction of those this summer. And so this first one would be for Country Club Drive. This one, if you'll recall, was actually scheduled for last summer, and we had some easement discrepancies, and so we took care of that. Everything's good to go, and you can see the schedule there on the background summary. So we're at this time planning on opening bids on the 10th of March, award the contract on the 21st of March, notice proceed on the 15th of April, tax day, and we're anticipating substantial completion beginning of September of 16th. So this item would be to authorize the advertisement for bids.
Move it approved.
Okay, we have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Go ahead, Audrey.
I was just reading this. It says approved plans, recommended action, approved plans and specifications. Is that what we're doing, or just authorizing you to do it, or what are we doing?
Well, Yeah, you're authorizing me or us or our department to advertise the bids. The plans and specs, we've been going through those for a good amount of time.
All right, I'm good with that. So
the motion technically reads approve plans and specs and allow advertising the bids. Okay.
Good,
Steve.
How much engineering do we do on Michelle and our department?
In-house?
Yeah.
Engineering? We review what engineering has been done on this particular project.
Okay, we can't do that ourselves.
We can. We have gone out for consultants on these larger projects because they have more resources available and can dedicate some more time outside of the standard everyday city engineering type stuff.
Oh, well, it's just
that be accurate, Josh? I mean,
I would conclude to that, and also these are more of a specialty type of engineering, considering they're lift stations. They're just not, I should say just not, but they're not streets and sanitary sewer, water, etc. There's many different disciplines related to lift stations, I suppose.
Electrical, mechanical, and, and then obviously the plumbing.
Hydraulics.
Don't you all those and above?
I'm not trying to put you out of business or take work away from you. I always have this question. So in-house, our engineering department designs the streets, the reconstruction, the draws all those plans.
Yeah, unless we determine at some point for some streets and projects that are larger than we have the staff to handle, along with the other projects that we have the everyday budget. For instance, that's why we hired engineers to do, or hired consultants to do Gorton and 9th when they did that, the State 8 streets, and then also Park and 10th, which hasn't been constructed but has been designed by consultants. Part of that was prior to having a city engineer on staff, and also with not having the amount of staff that some of these consultants have, that resources dedicated to that project.
All right, so what do we design in-house, anything ourselves as far as bidding the specs?
Sure. All of the improvement projects this year that I'm proposing for 16 were designed in-house.
Okay.
All of 15 was designed in-house outside of Gorton and Knight.
Okay.
All of the drainage stuff, if we do the catch basin repairs and things of that nature, if we have some things there, we design that. The Civic Center pond that we had to clean out, we designed all of that, did the quantities on that. So, we do a significant amount of things in-house as well.
I'm not trying to micromanage, just
sure.
Big question. I was just wondering.
Yep.
I know you have to have the plans and specifications. You have to review them, or if you do them, you have to have somebody else review them, or the state reviews them.
Sure.
Because they have to be all sent into the state, a lot of those street projects and water projects.
MPCA stuff does, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
We have a motion and a second on the table to approve plans and specs for Kentucky Drive lift station, number 1510, and allow advertising for bids. Any further comment or questions? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, and we're on to the next one, Westwood Court.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Same thing, different lift station. Westwood Court is just east of the college on 24, Highway 20, or County Road 24. And so it'd be the same thing. Recommended action would be to approve the plans and specs and allow advertisement for bids. The same dates as the plan at this point is to bid these as two projects on the same day in hopes of getting some more interest in these projects.
Same time frame, basically.
Yes.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to second to plan specs for the Westwood Court lift station, number 1511, allow for advertising bids. Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We're on the Minnesota Air Force Maintenance and Operations Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a two-year grant, and Megan has put this together. And Megan handles a lot of these, or most of the airport operations and grant type things, and I said I'd present this for her tonight. The state has graciously increased their contract to 75% coverage of eligible expenses. It says in there not to exceed $54,863 for the next 2 years, and she also informed me that eligible items for maintenance and repair of airport, the eligible items has increased, and so that's also good to hear. So the recommended action would be to approve a resolution authorizing execution of this grant.
Motion to approve as the resolution as stated.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve staff recommendation. Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye. Let's go ahead, Steve.
Well, just curious, how much is this, did the increase? Just, you know,
I'm glad you asked, because I did get the answer for this one.
Oh.
The old contract prior years was 67%,
okay.
So it was 51,000 and change.
Okay. Is that going to, do we have to revise our line item budget for that, or is it?
No, this would be maintenance items that come up as the year goes on, and it covers the first 75%
okay.
of that to that dollar amount. We typically spend more than that, and so it's a grant that we will definitely use.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. It does pass. Item number 7, request to purchase.
Catch up with you here. I hit the wrong button. Mr. Chair, I think the most of the remainder of the agenda items are very similar. These are all in the capital plan, and more specifically, the vehicle replacement policy or vehicle replacement plan. This particular one is for Public Works, and it would be a Bobcat Toolcat, which if some of you may remember, we just purchased one for the Civic Center, I believe last spring. So it'd be the same thing, according to the 16 capital outlay plan. The total amount of $46,551, and again, a multi-purpose vehicle, and we have the current accessories that will already fit on this particular vehicle. There was $60,000 budgeted for this particular unit, so we are under budget, and the recommended action would be to approve the purchase.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation for purchasing the Bobcat. Bobcat Toolcat. Comments, Steve?
Yeah, quick question. Is this going to be used for, like, hopefully it's high speed so you can plow some of those areas rather than blowing all those sidewalk paths we have down on Homer Avenue?
I believe so, yeah, because the attachments would be a bucket or a broom or a blower or a blade or, you know, so.
That would save some time. The other unit, the washer, it doesn't move very fast.
Right, and the reality is, depending on how well this works, and we are anticipating it working very well, it may at some day replace the trackless piece of the equipment that we are currently using, depending on the love that the operators have for that particular piece of equipment at the time.
Yeah, that's a good piece of equipment.
Any comments, questions? I have a couple, Steve. Sure.
Sure.
This is new and it's not replacing anything?
That's correct.
And
go back and make sure of that.
The Civic Center, that was a new one also, or did that replace one out there?
That one actually replaced the forklift that we had. There were different regulations, mm-hmm. remember, on the forklift, yeah. And so we actually got rid of the forklift and acquired the tool cap instead.
Okay. Does Public Works also have another? Well, they got a skid loader,
right.
Basically. That's not too old either, if I'm not mistaken. Now, these are a pretty handy piece of equipment, there's no doubt about it.
Very handy, yep.
And they're pretty.
Yes, they are. Especially if you like orange and white.
Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Let this pass. Request to purchase an F-150 pickup. Replace.
This one is replaced. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Recommended action would be to approve this replacement of an F-150 Ford half-ton pickup. Current pickup is an 06 scheduled for replacement, according to the vehicle replacement policy. The new one would be a 2016 F-150 for the price of $29,924.15. Through Nelson Auto Center, which is part of the joint buying agreement, the 06 would be transferred to the fire department and for various tasks, hydro painting, you know, summer help for that nature. The capital plan showed $37,500 for the purchase of this pickup.
Motion to approve.
Second.
The motion is second to approve staff's recommendation to purchase F-150 pickup. Any comments?
Do we repair that vehicle before we put it out in the lot? As far as the missing or any of those things that they say there's problems with?
The old one?
Yeah, before you put it on the auction.
This one's not going to auction. This will be for summer help for paint hydrants and things of that nature for the fire department. And yes, it'll be, by doing this, it reserves this vehicle for virtually in town only, and so it'll be maintained to that, to those standards for that use.
They don't give compression ratios or things, but when they do an analysis, and I asked this question before, and just be cautious. You can tell if engines are going by oil compression.
Sure.
Engine compression, I'm just wondering, is that usually done by our guys before we...
Well, I anticipate it is. I don't know that they write everything down that they do on it, but, you know, with a couple mechanics out there, I'm sure they've got that information on these vehicles.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I always question the purchases too, because I know that these vehicles are driven in town. I mean, and I know the short mileage isn't great on engines, but but we do have mechanics out there, and I see there's 101,000 miles on this particular one. We run ours about 165,000 miles before we do any replacement of them. Was this one ever asked to be replaced earlier, or is this the first time, 10 years old?
You know, I don't know that answer. It's the first time I've presented it.
Okay.
Only being here 2 years, I can't answer that question beyond that.
I'm always cautious. And the vehicle, the existing one, looks really nice. It's there.
Sure.
And it'll be used strictly by the fire department for come and go or whatever. So we're going to be adding another vehicle to their... This will be under their discretion.
Their fleet or whatever, yep.
Okay. And do they keep them all over there too, then?
Yes.
Fire department? So will it just be transferred from Public Works?
Correct.
Or to that? I see we're also getting a good price on these things.
Right. In answer to your first question, I anticipate this is the first time you've seen this one because it is 10 years old. And I think, if I remember right, remember that spreadsheet, that was the recommended replacement for the F-150s was the 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The next one you'll see, it looks like, is a 12-year-old vehicle. And so I would anticipate it being a little different story.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? If not, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That one passes. Number 9, 350.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will be for a one-ton approve the purchase replacement of the Public Works one-ton pickup with the dump body. The current one is an 04 F-350. Engine and suspension concerns. We're requesting this be replaced with this 2016 F-350 for $26,689.72 from Nelson Auto Center with the dump body from Towmaster for another $15,847 through the state contracts. Current unit will be sold at the city auction in May. And there was $49,000 total for the purchase of this piece of equipment in the capital program.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation of purchasing / replacing that 350 pickup. So the comments or questions? Not all in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. That motion passes. Item 10.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is not a vehicle. This would be a GPS unit for the surveying engineering department. The request is to purchase and recommend action be to approve the purchase of the GPS equipment. We have $50,000 budgeted for this GPS equipment, and this one would be the amount of $47,101.75. This GPS equipment, of course, is the mainstay of our surveying and staking design of all the stuff that we do in-house. And so we request that we replace this piece of equipment. The current equipment will be traded in at the mentioned value there of $6,500.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to second approve staff's recommendation to purchase a new GPS, and they're going to trade the other one in. They're going to, it's
yes.
Actually value to them, huh?
There is. Obviously not as much as the...
No. Somebody will use it somewhere,
correct.
I'm assuming.
Or they'll refurbish it and do, you know, some things of that nature. So that's here.
Any further comments or questions?
Well, we don't need a spare, do we?
No.
No, we don't.
And this is two different types, so one of
okay.
The parts are not interchangeable in this one.
Just out of curiosity, more than the U.S. China?
I don't know that answer.
Probably not the U.S.
You know, we used to hit on that issue years ago, you know,
yep.
Kind of trying to keep American people working. I just know if that's a policy that we had or not. I've had some cities did pass policies but it was within a certain percentage of competitive bid that was overseas that they granted to the American builder or manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if that's nothing to do with this one, but I think that's something we could look at too.
For federal money, of course, you have to have, there's a certain percentage that has to be American made, and you have to certify those items, but for these type of purchases, I've not seen that, so.
Just curious. Thank you.
It doesn't say anywhere here yet. It's made.
No, and I don't know that answer. This is Trimble, the other was Leica.
And I don't know how many companies there are out there.
Correct. There's not very many.
Yes. A lot of them are made in Europe. Germany's good for that. Any further comments or questions? In favor of the motion? We did have a motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of the motion is signify by saying aye.
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 Close, same sign. That brings us to...
That's all I have for you, Mr. Chair.
Adjourn.
That's not too bad. Is there any old business to be spoken about? Larry?
Mr. Chair, if I could bring some new business or for your advice, it appears that the Central Community Transit is adding, let's see, Meeker and Litchfield to the organization. And so they want to amend the agreement to add equal representation. And I can put this on the next agenda if you'd like.
Probably so bad to do that, to get us the information ahead of time so we can kind of brief over it. But Meeker County actually wants to merge or with KUI?
Basically it says Central Community Transit, which is an independent joint power entity formed by Renville and KUI County and the city of Wilmer. And then it would add Meeker and the city of Litchfield. And then it makes arrangements for equal representation on the board.
I bet they're getting pressured by the state to either merge or you don't get funding.
Anyway, I just got that, and I was seeking more direction on how you might want to handle it. And would this be the proper committee? I assume transit transportation.
There is liaisons to that committee, which is Rick and
Kevin.
So it probably should go
Rick Fagerly
and
Kevin Halliday.
Yeah, so they need to.
That might be the proper channel.
Yeah, I don't know if we've had it before a committee before.
Okay. No. This is Jim. So
that one flew apart. I saw. That might be.
So I can. I just got it, and I thought, well, if this is an opportunity to bring it up, I'll seek some direction.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Mr. Chairman, go to the order. Just curious if there's any interest to discuss the issue of oil prices being down to do more upstream building projects, seal coat, or things that we might want to maybe bond for, or even this year, and take advantage of the situation.
We'll spend some more of our money.
Yeah.
We do have funds.
Right, exactly.
Tons of them, but we do have some. and I know this has been brought up before, and I know you answered it before one time. Refresh us on why we shouldn't be doing that.
Sure, and I wouldn't say we shouldn't be doing it. What I would say is, and I apologize, I had a graph with me last night and don't have it, it's in my office right now, of the amount of, we are actually doing more this year than we have the last 2 years by far, in fact almost double of 2 years ago. Since 2010, we're doing the either second or third most miles this year than we've done since 2010. And so I would say that, to answer part of the question is we are doing more this year. The other part of the question that I'm a little cautious of is nobody has seen any bids yet, and everybody is, not everybody, the anticipation is that oil prices will hold the bituminous line item down. Nobody has seen bids yet, so we don't know that to be necessarily true yet. If that is the case, then that is, again, only one section of the bid, and it's a large section of the bid, but it's only one portion of a full street project. And so I wouldn't say we would have $1 million. I wouldn't say we'd have an abundance of additional money to pick and choose other projects. The other concern I have is with a short construction season, if we haven't started design by now, it puts us quite a ways behind on trying to get that design done and plans and specs together and bid out in a timely fashion so the contractors aren't already full of their, with their schedule to add something to our particular projects.
We also do have the option of adding. I mean, I think we can do it the same price if we bid, if I'm not mistaken, we've done it in the past.
Okay.
If you get these bids in and say, geez, these are really, really good just because of this. Now, we haven't seen it in airlines. They're not lowering their tickets. They're paying a whole lot less for fuel, jet fuel than they were, 24 months ago and 12 months ago. We haven't seen it in transportation. We're still getting it in construction. We're still getting mileage costs for delivering materials. And that's what's up. But I think all industries are trying to kind of make up for what's been lost in the last 7 years. And it was a ton, believe me. But I suspect that they will be lower. I mean, the material costs are
sure
lower. But we won't know, like you said, until we get them.
And I would say absolutely could add seal coat, crack seal.
Yeah.
When it comes to reconstruct or even mill and overlay, there's a significant amount of design work, pre-design work that needs to be done to get those projects underway. And when we won't know until, a month from construction season, that makes it a little more difficult. Not undoable, or not insurmountable, but.
I was thinking more along the lines of crack sealing and seal coating too.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, because that, as you had stated a few months or a few meetings ago, that really does lengthen the life of the street. I mean, you get that done at the proper time, it lasts that much longer.
Yeah.
Audrey, did you have something?
I was just going to say, maybe the second part of that is to be prepared if we can do more next year.
Great.
That if the bids come in as such that we start to look at, can we add something on next year? I was hoping you would also make a comment about the transportation meeting today that Larry,
sure.
You and I, and the mayor were at, and Bruce.
Yeah, of course it was a legislative meeting that was asking for our needs in so many words, so that they can take it back to legislative session that starts here in the next few weeks. But, I think to sum it all up, the cities and the counties, the townships need or want additional funding and need or want a dedicated funding source. And the legislators are going to try to go with that message to Capitol and see if they can make that happen. It was pretty obvious in the meeting that there were still differences of opinion amongst legislators on how that would happen, but hopefully something will happen, and it might be a little bit out of both parties' plan. And with that being said, hopefully beyond the state aid funding, which is a pretty good pot of dedicated money, it'd be nice to have some help for local streets and things like that.
Go ahead.
My understanding was it was cities, half the money was spent on $1 million or something allocated for cities under 5,000. The remaining was going to go for cities over 5,000 population. And that was strictly the old state aid streets, right?
Well, no, that's a little different because state aid's got a cutoff of 5,000 as well.
Okay.
And so that was, some of that money was specifically for cities under 5,000 because they don't qualify for as much state aid. But that I read that in the paper too, and there's something about that 5,000 mark where there was a shot in the arm, if you will, of money that was distributed to those cities. And the ones less than 5,000 got X dollars,
yeah.
$20,000 or whatever. So.
I actually heard someone who from another city who said they had talked about putting a mark on the road where that funding, that $20,000 they got, how far it went, because it would only do, such
feet.
A minimal amount.
Right.
I thought it was interesting, though, to hear about all the other communities and the county and the needs that are out there. I thought that was eye-opening, I think, for the people who were there, and also I would hope the legislators that were there to realize how bad the needs are out there, how far behind things are. So
when I go to another meeting tomorrow in Marshall, it's called Area Transportation Partnership for this district, and it'll be the same thing. It's another pot of money that you can put money in for grant or loan money out of, and it's projects that are similar to, you know, TAP funds, where you can request money for 3 or 4 years into the future and get some of those projects on the books, so to speak, or earmarked for those projects. So.
Are there opportunities? There was a statement made today, and I know the mayor was there too, and I asked him if he knew that we can apply for additional funding for something. I mean, there was a statement made about some cities getting, I wasn't sure what it was referencing.
Sure. Yes, I'll answer the question I think you're asking or may have asked, and then you can tell me if I was right or not. So last week I went down to Steve Brizendine and I went down to Granite Falls for a meeting that was a different pot of money, and that was TAP fund, which is Transportation Alternative Programs. Okay. We requested and were granted money, 80% match money for, in this case, a bike trail from Lakeland Drive to 23rd.
Okay.
So that pot of money is there for specific type of transportation alternative programs. This ATP, Area Transportation Partnership, is yet another pot of money that has small amounts that you can request. Cities, counties compete against each other to request some of this funding. Once again, if you get awarded some of this funding, it is for a project that won't be able to be built until 18 or 19. But yeah, there's different little pots of money out there that are, some have specific rules on what can be applied for and what cannot. And so this is just another one of those.
Are they federal dollars or state dollars?
That's the catch, is that they're federal dollars, and so there are a good number of hoops that need to be jumped through to get those dollars. And so that's why some people are more interested in going after them than others.
A federal reallocation or federal dollars, they talked about freight with that. So does that have any hope for us with?
That answer I don't know. And how that fits into, you know, maybe we can increase the strength of the roads that we put in on certain, maybe state aid routes. I don't know the details of that, of the freight portion of that. When he said freight, I immediately thought train, but I don't think that's what he meant. So that I don't know enough about.
Okay.
Was that the $20 million that pot that he mentioned, or?
I think so, but I can't remember for sure if that was. And does it have to be state or higher road? I mean, that I don't know all the answers to that one.
I do think it speaks to some of the things though we talked about last night about making sure we're in the loop and yep. stating our piece and
resource
and pushing the legislators respond. And so I thought
that's
it was worthwhile today. Yeah.
And I think that's definitely you guys' contact is push legislators and gather information from me or request information from me that you can present to legislators.
I think that would be a great move, and I was going to ask the same question after. I really believe that's a good move on our step on their town.
I think.
I'm sorry.
Go
ahead.
I think overwhelmingly you could hear today the message from all of the townships, county, cities, engineers, all the people in the room was find a way to get sustainable funding. You know, find a way to get it done. Work together, compromise, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the message that has to be carried forward to both parties, that, you know, the expectations can't afford to wait any longer.
Was the gas tax issue brought up?
A little.
It was. That's one of the options. And it'll be talked about in earnest for the next 6 weeks, probably.
More taxes. That's always going to be talked about.
I think there were, though, comments made about a trade-off. You know, what difference does it make if it's a gas tax? If you're raising something here and you can lower something there elsewhere because of the surplus, and you're designating it to go for funding, then is it necessarily bad to do a trade-off versus just, I mean, you can't raise both sides, but
right.
Maybe you could find a way, you know, and if they can find a different way to provide sustainable funding, that's, I think, a question that both parties need to come up with of how to do it. So.
Well, this entire country is full of infrastructure problems, and yeah. there are upgrades that are needed and fixes. It's just, I mean, everywhere. We aren't alone, but the older the city, the worse the problem. And it takes funding. It takes money. And if it's in the form of a gas tax or a use tax or whatever it is, you ain't going to do it unless you got money. I'm not completely opposed to taxes, but sometimes I'm opposed to how they're spent, or how many pockets they go through before they get to the street. I mean, it's. But I'm glad it was brought up. It's just, any other comments, questions on that?
Just one of the thoughts on my mind, as usual. I think years ago, the city used to own a crack sealing machine. Do we still have that? We used to do our own crack sealing.
I think there's a tar pit, you know, that one that you haul around behind the truck.
I think we do our own crack seal. Then we hire out to.
Well, I know we've got
L&M does,
calls
so.
From some L&M does Belgrade, yeah.
I'll look into that. See, I don't. Now that you say that, we did have a couple different agreements, one for Braxton and one for Seal Coat.
Yeah.
There were two separate agreements, and so maybe what we have is the machine that can fix potholes, you know, a smaller type of machine like that. But
If it's not being used, we should get rid of it or we should use it. Just a recommendation. And
sure.
And you can bring it back just out of curiosity. You know, that would be a good summertime job for students or curiosity.
Maintenance is never ending.
Yeah.
It's just the streets, especially because we have these things that drive on them with wheels. And
yeah.
And Larry, you had something?
I was just going to say, I did talk to John Hughesby about some of the additional money, that $20 million pot.
Oh.
And he said that I asked if it could be used for like the Y project or something there. And he said, well, we already are using $18 million of state money in there, and we're kind of over the top on that. And so I have a feeling that, you know, as far as the state's concerned, that he didn't think it would apply anymore.
I think there's somebody's coming to the community development tomorrow to speak to that.
Yeah, Paul Rasmussen is the project manager for MnDOT on that project. Yep.
Speaking of community development, it's not on the city's calendar. Did it?
It is now.
Is it now?
It's on.
It is now.
Okay. I was just concerned if we.
Well, okay, so part of that was Bruce was gone playing with grandbaby last week, and they didn't get the agenda until Monday, which could be part of it. I don't know if that is or not. So,
okay. It wasn't there today when I looked. So.
Oh, in your Dropbox?
No, on the
website?
The city website, it didn't show the.
Okay.
Darn.
And I didn't know if he was going to have one or not. I found out late last week that he was. He was going to get the agenda out real quick, so that could be part of the reason.
I just was hopeful we had done the notice that we did to need it.
Yeah. One other thing, I had a complaint on 9th Street Southwest. And,
they're standing meetings.
Right by Garfield School.
So they don't have to be?
Bob's house.
Yeah.
The whole sidewalk is broken up into chunks.
Right now?
Yeah. I walked on it the other day.
It just happened? Or
I mean,
did it just happen?
No, it's been like that for a couple of years.
Now,
we take care of that, or
no,
the homeowner?
A property owner is responsible for sidewalks.
Is that right?
Property owner is responsible up to the back of curb.
For sidewalks?
Yeah. Because
we have a boulevard there,
city
that the city has easement to anything underneath it.
We have an easement, and we have right-of-way. That's correct, but the sidewalks and so mowing and watering and snow removal and weeds and everything else from that boulevard up to the back of curb is property owner's responsibility.
So
anyway,
we don't do the sidewalks in the city right away.
Correct.
We'll give them the good news. Any further comments, questions, or?
Excuse me, just thought we do that for the downtown.
Downtown's different.
Yeah, I know it's different.
But
we do
but we assess downtown also to do those sidewalks.
And when we do the street reconstruction, we sometimes change the degree of degree of the road or change the elevation of the roads, then we redo the sidewalks.
Yep, and then those are
included up in the approaches.
Right, now if you're doing a reconstruct or a new construction, then the developer pays for everything, and then when they get turned over, if you will, to, or when their project gets approved, then it's responsibility of the property owner.
I thought we took care of our sidewalks. We used to have a, years ago, we hired some young students to ride their bicycles on the sidewalks and make an account and fix the sidewalks that were in need of replacement.
Now, were those
trip hazards?
Were those people assessed, though?
That I don't know.
Okay. I would bet they were, but I guess I obviously was not here, so I don't know about you.
We have certain streets that we do the sidewalks on, like main, like
First, you know, I think we do. For instance, First Street, you know, things of that nature. But I think, you know, when it comes to businesses, they get assessed for those sidewalks. You know, our guys will be down cleaning. You see them up and down the central business district cleaning the sidewalks.
But you also do like 19th Avenue and Wilmer Avenue.
First Street.
Yeah, most of those are businesses, yep.
But last summer we were doing some approaches or the handicap accessibility to the corner by the intersections of the streets where we cut off that curb and gutter, and our guys formed it and we did the sidewalks in that area.
Yep.
That is not assessed.
ADA probably is not. That corner maybe not, but the sidewalk itself. And I don't know how ADA is assessed or dealt with or otherwise.
So then the liability is to whom in case of trip hazards?
Property owner.
That, downtown? Right?
Downtown, I don't know. In central business district.
Okay. That's something we should think about doing as far as a service agreement. So they might be able to do a partial, just like we do with their strip policy, take care of half the cost.
Well, I know we've done that on an occasion where we've got a project going through, and if a homeowner wants their sidewalk done, they can get it for the contract price. I know I've done that on past jobs. I can't tell you for sure if that's happened here or not, but I don't know why we couldn't consider that.
Some cities do it. I remember doing it with my father years ago, like in his Grand Forks, and he bid out sidewalk replacement so much per foot. But then every city is different.
I don't remember any new sidewalks going in any new development in the last 15, 20 years.
No, very few.
Most of them don't have them,
So, unless you want to redesign the street to a safe street in which you have pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic on the side of the sidewalk and then have a narrower street.
Less people walking today than back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
No, that's not true. There's more people walking now.
Just walk through all the streets.
Yeah. And there are.
Around in
good talk. Good talk.
Any further comments, questions, or anything to be brought to the committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to
second Audrey's motion. Is there about 10 minutes?
We are adjourned.